As Jesus went about his earthly ministry, people either wanted to follow him or he invited them to follow him. And yet it never failed. They seemed to have a desire to follow him on their own terms. We read in Luke 9 of an account where it happened as he journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus responded and said, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So we see here a couple of times that people wanted to follow Jesus or were invited to follow Jesus, but they all said, "Let me first." One said, "Let me first go and bury my father." The other said, "I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell." You know, this me first mentality was fundamentally opposed to the concept of Jesus and following him. In Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus demanded that one deny himself to follow him. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." From Luke 14 and verse 26, he required that one hate his own life also. So I want to suggest to you this morning that we live in a culture, in a society that praises putting self first and then looking out for number one. So it's easy for us to understand that Christians would adopt this me first mentality. And I want to consider some ways that we may be guilty of the me first mentality. The first example I want to speak of is in our attendance. The scriptures reveal the example and value of assembling together with other Christians. In Acts 2, after Peter preached that great sermon, the text tells us that there were about 3,000 souls added to the Lord's church. And in verse 42, it tells us that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. In Acts 20, in verse 7, we read, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." We read in Hebrews 10, in verse 25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And yet, even today, just like in Luke 9, there are people who will often put personal interest before opportunities to attend the services and to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't matter what it is, it could be recreational activities, family activities, elective work, choosing to work to make a little extra money, staying home to read or watch TV, and basically this haphazard attendance is definitely a sign of the me first mentality. In our giving, our contribution, the collection, whatever you want to call it, Christians are instructed in the New Testament to give of their prosperity to meet certain needs. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, we see now Paul writes here concerning the collection for the saints, "As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." They were to have the money on hand ready for when he came through to take to Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians 9, again, Paul writes in verse 7 through 9, "So let each one of you, each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And yet so many people want to give sparingly because they want to spend as much as possible on things for themselves. And they have failed to properly budget their contribution to the Lord. They are burdened with bills for things that are not necessities, but actually luxuries. So therefore, being negligent on giving out of their prosperity, they are guilty of the me first mentality. Another area that we're guilty of this mentality is in our service to other people, to other Christians. God has blessed each of us with gifts to serve one another. The Apostle Paul again writes in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then again, Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things he may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. It seems like there's very little effort made on the part of individuals to do their part of the in the work of the local congregation. They don't learn the names of the other members. They don't seek to find their gift or ability that God has given them. And when there are men's meetings, men don't attend. When women are needed to teach, they don't teach. They may attend church, but only to receive what they can get out of it and not what they can give of themselves. So this lack of involvement in the local church, I believe, is definitely a sign of the me first mentality. But if we have this me first mentality in our service to God, then sometimes it shows in our family relationships. The Bible tells us that Christians have duties to members of their physical families, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5. And a lot of families suffer when people seek their own interest above the other members of their family. When husbands and wives are selfish in their dealings with each other. When parents divorce without regard to the impact it has on their children. And when children fail to honor and obey their parents. Dysfunctional families abound where this me first mentality exists. And yet our service to the Lord, His church, and our families is greatly hindered by this me first mentality. And it is detrimental to our souls and the souls of those around us. How much better then for us to learn and practice the other's first principle? That's seen in the life of Christ, is it not? He came to this earth because he put others first. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, For you know the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you may through his poverty, that through his poverty you might become rich. And Jesus says in Matthew 20, verses 27 and 28, that whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8, that we're called upon to adorn the same mind and attitude, to do nothing through selfish ambition or conceit, to esteem others better than ourselves, and to look out for the interest of others. And Jesus exemplified this principle of the others first mentality, and that's what he desires of us as well. This others first mentality was also seen in the Macedonians that we read about in the New Testament. Paul wrote about them in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4, and he noted their liberality in their giving of their money, despite the fact that they were in poverty. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, he notes why they were able to be so gracious in thinking of others first. He says they gave of themselves to the Lord, then to others. The mentality of Lord first instead of me first helped them to be able to put others first. In Philippians 4, verses 10 through 18, he points out that their liberality continued in supporting him as he preached the gospel. So I see here from these examples that putting God and others first ensured that their needs would be met, and I can rest assured that mine will be too. Paul wrote there at the end of that passage in Philippians 4 in verse 19, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the Macedonians exemplified the true value of putting others first. So let's end this lesson with a couple of questions. The first question is this: do we have this me first mentality? Well, if we do, then we cannot be Jesus' disciples. And if we do have this me first mentality, then the church and our own spiritual lives are going to suffer. So now, second question: do we want to get rid of this me first mentality? You see, this me first mentality will be destroyed when we adopt the others first principle. And the others first principle will be developed as we make the kingdom of God first. That's what Jesus spoke of in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. So when we truly put the kingdom of God and others before ourselves, then the Lord will see to it that we have the things that we need. That's exactly what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount there, Matthew 6, verses 30 through 33. And that's what Paul told us in Philippians 4 and verse 19. Again, you may not agree with this lesson. If you don't and you would like to bring it to my attention, bring your Bible and let's sit down with book, chapter, and verse and discuss it. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, there will be a replay at 11:40, but also you can go to the church's website, that's churchateastside.com, and listen to it there. There are past radio lessons that you can listen to, there are sermons that you can listen to, and there are articles that you can read as well. And while I have a moment of your time, I want to let you know that we will be having a gospel meeting August the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. We'd be glad to have you visit with us that time. If you'd like to visit with us during the regular services, we meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, again this evening at 5 p.m. for a period of evening worship, and we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. The times of our gospel meeting will be 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday night, and then the regular times of service on Sunday the 22nd. Again, if you have any questions or you'd like to visit with us at the Eastside Congregation, we would be glad to meet with you. Thank you very much.